Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That is what we do, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Would you just listen to two assholes talk about Alex Jones?
At this point, yeah, probably.
I think so, too.
My life has been destroyed.
I think it's pretty much that, yeah.
No, not
but
just...
why would regular people listen to a show?
Well, I think they might like to tune in to hear two dudes who have very different levels of knowledge about Alex Jones.
One person has all the knowledge.
One of them.
The other person?
None.
None of the knowledge.
Knows nothing about anything. Blank slate. Completely.
That's what I am.
Yeah, tabula rasa.
This would be such a weird show if you got somebody every week who actually knew nothing about Alex Jones.
Who's like, this guy?
Like, if I never actually learned it, like, if I had some sort of weird amnesia.
Or every episode I El Kabong you.
That would be great.
At the end of the show.
That would be fantastic.
I either El Kabong or Jeff Jarrett you and hit you over the head with a guitar.
Don't say Jeff Jarrett.
Slap nuts.
Oh, that's very offensive.
Shut up, slap nuts.
Very offensive.
He used to hit people over the head
to
with
so
a guitar filled with cocaine.
Jeff Jarrett? Disgusting.
Oh, boy.
Ah.
So, Jordan, we're going to be talking today about something that happened on the December 5th, 2017 episode.
That's 12/5, right?
That's correct. That would be Tuesday of this week. But before we do, I'd like to get to an out-of-context drop of Alex Jones.
Fiery finger of the Lord wrote into the stone. Marble tablets. Marble tablets of Mueller. Mueller. Mueller.
I just wanted to.
All right. All right. I love his analysis.
Sure. I wanted to start.
He really gets into the weeds.
I wanted to start off with that so the chat room could have a drink. That fake
laugh. A lot of fake laughs going on there.
Yeah. So, and just, it's, I mean, he's on this weird place where he's talking about how, like, the investigators are gods,
yes.
to the liberals.
Yeah. That makes
sense. And stuff like that. It's wild. It's nonsense.
I don't get that. I don't get his tip.
I do. I do.
How's that?
Well, I mean, it's just discrediting the people, and trying.
I mean, is it?
Oh, in the eyes of his listeners, yeah, probably. It's like they're blindly following this dumb false god of theirs, Mueller. And the only criticism he really ever has of Mueller, he's like, he's up to his eyeballs in Russia stuff.
Yeah.
And the only example he really gives is the tarmac, which.
The uranium deal.
And that's not even the uranium deal. It just happens to involve uranium.
Yeah.
So him bringing it to the Russian investigators.
Right.
Because it was confiscated in Georgia.
Don't understand.
And it was a collaborative investigation between the United States and Russia.
Yeah, it sounds like he screwed it up.
Totally, yeah, totally. So, Jordan, today we're gonna be going over. There's a lot of bullshit on the December 5th episode, and we're gonna not talk about most of it.
Because I think if I was gonna attack Mueller, I would go with like he looks like a principal.
You hang dog punk.
You know he looks like Jesus Christ. Are you gonna discipline me? Do you have
send me to detention?
Do you have a paddle with holes in it? What is this? The 1950s? Fuck you!
Don't give Trump any ideas. That's gonna be the next like. That's going to be the next hashtag trend. Vice Principal Mueller. It's going to be, and it's going to stick too. That's the worst part about
it. That's a tie-in with the HBO show Vice Principals.
Yeah.
See, I did it.
So, we're going to ignore a whole lot of what happens on this episode and mostly focus on about a 20-minute chunk that takes up a large portion of the first hour. But before we do, I want to actually start the episode by going to the end of the episode. Or a little bit later in the episode.
What is this, Memento? What are we doing here?
It is.
Well, we're starting at the end and working backwards?
Somewhat,
don't understand.
Somewhat, because this piece is actually separate from what we're going to be going over. But
okay.
It definitely needs to be discussed.
Okay.
This is in the middle of an ad. It is bringing up something new in InfoWars world.
Okay.
And by the way, we've launched a new, big, massive website that's been... Oh, a year in the making, filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of products that are not sold on the other site. And that's FortifiedSupply.com, a survival and camping store, an exclusive InfoWars Life reseller. And just like I carry storable foods and then have the lowest price because I'm a reseller of those, it lets me contractually get around MAP agreements. And I'm not doing it unscrupulously. They know I'm doing it. Same thing here, setting up the subsidiary to be able to sell you camping supplies and survival gear and things through a subsidiary of another company so that we can give you even lower prices.
So what do you?
Why are you telling us this?
What do you understand?
You don't need to say that shit.
What do you understand from that sentence that he just said?
Well, he's getting around MAP. What was it again?
MAP agreements.
MAP agreements.
MAP agreements are right. Minimum advertised price agreements.
Okay.
And they are contractual.
Uh-huh.
They are in place for a reason. But what else do you understand? We'll get to that in a minute.
And then he's creating a subsidiary in order to sell it as something separate from his business.
Indeed.
But he just revealed that it is his business.
And he's doing it to get around MAP agreements. Yeah. But he says, these people who are supplying the product, it's not like I'm doing this in an insidious way. They know I'm doing it.
That's not... Why are you telling us this?
But also that...
Don't put your business out.
That can't possibly be true.
No, of course not.
So let me tell you a little bit about MAP agreements.
Why would... Okay. All right. So I'm the wholesaler.
Yes.
Right. And I'm like, all right, Alex, we need you to participate in this program. Uh-huh. Otherwise, we can't allow you to do it.
Right.
And then Alex comes back with,
sure.
Nah, I'm gonna do it differently. And they're like, you know what? That's fine. I don't think that's how the negotiations went.
I'm also sure that they didn't. I don't know. And, I may in the future reach out to some of his suppliers and see what they think about this. But the reason that I'm bringing this up at the beginning of the show and I want to put a focus on this. MAP agreements exist for a very specific reason. And they are to assure, competition between different leveled businesses.
Yeah.
So for instance, Alex Jones has a large business and he can afford to have lower margins, particularly lower margins than say a brick and mortar store.
Yeah.
They have much higher overheads, and in order for them to make what they need to stay open and pay their employers or employees, they need to have smaller margin or bigger margins in the products.
Yeah.
So Alex Jones, by getting around MAP agreements, what he's saying is everyone has agreed that this is the lowest price we can advertise something for, because to advertise for lower would be to undercut people who can't advertise those prices.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I don't give a shit.
Right.
So when he talks about prosperity and when he talks about the idea of people having a fair chance and bringing back small businesses,
he's trying to make sure that doesn't happen.
Absolutely. This admission on his part is actively working against the idea of the free, fair market.
Don't understand.
Everything he stands for is undercut by the idea of, I don't give a shit. I'm gonna start a second subsidiary so I can get around agreements.
Wasn't that enacted in order to kind of fight back against your Walmarts and your Costcos, who would take a bath on something to start with in order to push those small businesses out, and then they would raise their prices because they don't have any competition?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely. I'm not entirely sure what the reasoning behind it is, but it makes a lot of sense.
So in his situation, I think he would probably argue that that is the free market. Because I can survive this, I should be able to destroy prosperity and small businesses.
Prosperity for everyone who's smaller than me.
Yeah, no, that's gross.
Now, also,
they should work for me.
A lot of studies have been done about people who infringe on MAP agreements.
Right.
And generally what people have found who have done these studies
All Alex Jones.
No,
It's weird that every time we do a study on these, it's all Alex Jones.
It was a study out of Kellogg Institute, I believe. Uh-huh. And what they found was that most of the time
And dried weed is great.
when people infringe on MAP agreements and charge a lower price, what they also do is raise their shipping price in order to stealthily get the money that they would have lost in changing the margin to be what is expected.
Okay.
That way they raise volume, and most people don't know about what the shipping cost is going to be until it's already too late in the transaction.
Solid trick.
It's absolutely great and totally legal.
Yeah. No, that's a good trick.
Yeah, it's good. It's very manipulative and wrong. Now, the other thing that people found when they studied these MAP agreements and people who do not follow them when they are contractually obligated to, is that what you end up doing is you end up really, really hurting your supplier. You end up hurting your manufacturer, because there's two prongs to it. The first is that when you don't honor the MAP agreement, most people don't. Yeah. If people see that that advertised price lower than what they've agreed to, they're like, oh, shit, they're doing it, so I'll do it.
Right.
So then everybody starts in a competition to give lower prices, and it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
So then everyone loses. Everyone who's selling these things ends up selling them at much lower margins.
Hmm.
So you end up fucking over people who can't keep up. So then secondarily, what you do is you hurt the manufacturer because you create an illusion that their MSRP, the manufacturer's suggested retail price, is actually hyperinflated. So when you...
I mean, it is.
It is.
It but, always is.
But if you're selling something for, let's say, something costs this amount and the minimum advertised price is here and you're selling it here, it makes it look like that first original price is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's ridiculous on purpose.
We can't argue that part of
what
it.
What I am trying to say, Dan, is that at no point in time have I ever seen unchecked capitalism lead to bad results for everybody involved.
Right.
I've never seen that happen before.
Understandable, but we're not talking about the big picture. We're talking about Alex Jones's actions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, he's committing a crime.
I don't know if it's a crime, but
he's in breach of contract.
Sure, well, I mean, we don't have
otherwise, what's the point of those contracts?
We don't have his contract, so we don't know entirely. But right. At the same time, he would never bring that up if he wasn't in a contract.
Yeah.
He wouldn't bring up getting around MAP agreements by starting a new retail website if it wasn't something he was concerned about.
Unless he's making it up entirely, in which case, that cements into true fact. This dude's fucking insane.
I have done...
How would you lie about that?
I have done some research.
Oh, really?
I went
never to, heard you say that before.
I went to FortifiedSupply.com, which is Alex Jones's new subsidiary.
Okay.
And I went and found and hunted down all of the distributors. And I went to their websites and double-checked the prices to see what they were selling it for and what Alex is selling it for.
Okay.
And I found some interesting things.
Did he at least rebrand that stuff or
no? What do you mean? No. He does like the Emmerich's Essentials, the private label stuff.
Yeah.
He does that. And like that's no big deal. If he wants to, let's say, so Super Blue, that is Tom's of Maine private labeled.
Right.
And we know that because he's admitted it on
because he said that publicly.
So,
which again, stop putting your business out, Alex.
So if a tube of Tom's of Maine costs $10 and he private labels it and sells it for $8, it doesn't really matter to Tom's of Maine because they get the wholesale price no matter what.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt Tom's of Maine's bottom line or anybody else who's selling Tom's of Maine stuff because you're not supposed to know that that's Tom's of Maine.
Eh.
So if you're selling, Super Blue for $8, that shouldn't affect at all Tom's of Maine. But unfortunately it does.
Well, it's a licensing situation.
Right.
So they're going to take their cut no matter how much you sell it for. Mm-hmm. They're getting the same amount.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
all you're doing is
that's a smart move for Tom's of Maine because then they don't have to worry about advertising or anything along those
that's
lines.
That's in private label stuff.
Exactly.
And none of these instances that I'm about to bring up are private label.
That's a bad idea.
They are all resold under their same name, and I checked the specs on them and made sure they were the same products and everything. And
How much does he under? What's the largest amount he undercuts them by?
Well, what's interesting is
$6 million.
You know what's fucking fascinating?
What?
Almost nothing is discounted. Now, here's where it gets fucked
up. Wait, nothing is discounted compared to what the other place is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, but there's some weird anomalies that I found that I think are worth bringing up.
Okay.
So first of all, InfoWars products are sold on Fortified Supply, and they're sold literally zero difference in price. Which you'd expect.
Yeah, you don't want to compete against yourself.
But there are some that, you know, that have like sale price and original price.
Yeah.
And all of it matches.
Yeah.
So InfoWars products all sold exactly the same. There's a company called Citizen Armor, which sells like backpacks and bug out bags. Their prices are all exactly the same that you can find on CitizenArmor.com.
I would definitely watch a movie named Citizen Armor. I would totally watch that movie.
I think it would be dry.
I'm imagining something along the lines of Judge Dredd, like the redo. Do you remember?
Did you see
the remake or the newest Judge Dredd? It was a great movie.
I see it as the next Pixar movie.
Great movie. The next Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bulletproof vests walking around talking. It's like Cars, but with...
Now that is a very dark movie.
So that's those two, And yeah. From what I can tell, Citizen Armor might be a newer sponsor or whatever, a newer affiliate.
Yeah.
So there might be something where got to stay on the straight and narrow.
Right.
So then we get to Ledge Sports. This is a new supplier that Alex Jones has.
Yep.
They sell like camping gear. I don't think I saw any camp, any actual tents, but there's a lot of like sleeping bags and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I found some sort of interesting discrepancies. The first is there's a river. River is the type of bag, not like it. You can go in a river or anything. It's just called
it's
river.
It's the leather made from River Phoenix's skin.
Indeed.
Okay.
There's like River Featherlight. There's a bunch of lines of bags.
Yeah.
And so the River 0 Degree sleeping bag is sold for $69.99 on both websites as the original price.
Okay.
It's marked down to $49.99 on Ledge Sports. Marked down to $59.99 on InfoWars. So he's selling at a worse discount.
Yeah.
So that's an instance where he's not trying to get any better deals on it. I can't put this on the document cam because there's just way too much of it and I can't scroll around. But go to fucking ledgesports.com. You can find all this
stuff. Don't go to ledgesports.com.
So the River 20 plus degree bag is $39.99 through $59.99 on Ledge Sports, $59.99 on InfoWars. No discount and actually probably cheaper. On the other one.
Yeah.
On Ledge Sports. Featherlight, plus 20 sleeping bag is $54.99 on Ledge Sports and inexplicably $64.95 on InfoWars. Markups.
Marking up makes sense from there because they're not. Because they're not the wholesaler. It's not direct sales. They have to go through their own overhead and they have to go through their own markup there. That makes sense.
No. But it doesn't make sense based on what Alex Jones is pitching this site for.
Right.
He's saying that because I have an independent subsidiary, I can get you the cheapest prices.
Well, yeah, but he's lying about that.
All of these are not the cheapest prices. He sells heirloom organic seeds on Info.
Well, I mean, who doesn't sell heirloom organic seeds?
For the microgreens complete kit, it's $99 on InfoWars. Mm. It's $79.99 on heirloom organics.
Right.
For their seed pack, the microgreen seed pack, it's $59.99 on InfoWars. It's $49.99 on heirloom organics.
Yeah, but see, that's like a branding markup. Like, that's no, because you're going to something that Alex Jones is associated with.
It's conceivably an advertising fee.
Yeah.
I would argue it's possible to like, oh, we'll get more attention to your stuff and we'll charge extra.
Right.
But that is not how Alex Jones presents what he's doing.
No, so he was lying about the map agreements.
Right.
Why would you lie about the map agreements? Why would you pick something so specific to lie about?
Now, here's where...
Couldn't you just say we have the lowest prices?
Here's where it...
My suppliers?
He doesn't have the lowest
prices.
Yeah,
but you can lie about that. Why would you lie about cheating other people?
Well, because I think he is.
Okay, so now we're getting back into cheating.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
So there's a chance that if you go through...
I'm just trying to break up this episode of Price is Right going on right now.
If you go through checkout, there's a decent chance that when you put it into your bundle, it would be cheaper.
Okay.
Because that is allowed. You can have an advertised price... That is, let's say, $200, and then you put it in your cart, and it's $170 or something like that.
Okay.
That's legal.
So that's why you
map
see...
agreements don't dictate what you can charge.
Right.
It's what you can advertise you're
right.
charging.
Right. Okay.
So conceivably, like, any of these prices could be, like, lies or whatever. But be that as it may.
I don't trust anything anymore.
Here is where it's fucked up.
Once Alex Jones's stores aren't open and honest with me... Who knows? All bets are off.
I understand we're boring the shit out of people with a bunch of price talk.
I'm trying really hard to make this interesting.
I need to get through it. I have one more supplier that I found.
Okay.
And this has some very serious issues.
Uh-huh.
So he sells Harvest Right freeze dryers on his site on Fortified Supply.
I assume those are sex toys.
They're very large things you can put food in and they'll give you like dried apples out of it or something like that.
You know what's sad? I think we all actually probably need to start shopping at that store. Like that, like the way the world is going, it's almost like, damn it, Alex, you did do me a favor on this one thing.
I've got bad news. We can't afford it.
No, I mean, of course not.
So here was the greatest disparate.
We were never going to be able to afford the apocalypse, Dan.
Here's the greatest disparate amount that I found from the Harvest Right freeze dryers. All of their prices are wrong. all of them are wrong.
Okay.
They don't match at all. There's no rhyme or reason to them in terms of like the actual price or the sales price matching on Fortified Supply or on Harvest Right's website.
Okay.
So the large freeze dryer, which is pretty big, pretty big. On Fortified Supply, InfoWars' website,
yeah,
it costs $3,145.50, marked down from $4,995.
Okay.
Okay? So now, on Harvest Right's website, it's $28.95 for the sale price, marked down from $34.95. The difference is he's charging $300 more than they charge on their website, and the markdown price that he's pretending to have marked down from is also $1,500 higher.
Yeah, it's an artificially inflated MSRP.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is not what Heritage Harvest Right.
Heritage Foundation is actually the angel investors behind Harvest Right.
He's pretending and presenting that he's offering a much bigger discount than he is, which might be what he's talking about.
Right.
With the map shit.
Right. So he's lying in a very specific way, as though his listeners know what a map agreement is.
Right.
And they're like, check this out. This guy knows even how to screw over regular folk.
Yeah. So anyway, this has been the first 20 minutes of the show wherein we discuss pricing.
You really went for it there.
All right. Now let's get to
What was the point of that again?
The point of it is everything that you can buy on InfoWars, short of InfoWars' own products, you can find for cheaper elsewhere.
Right.
You can probably find those products cheaper elsewhere, too. Just you have to find out what the active ingredients are.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically, he's pretending that he's going.
So we need to get the word out.
And also, it means to
Alex
me that
is charging more.
There's a second reason why he started a subsidiary, and this isn't it.
Okay.
There's something else. He's hiding money or something like that.
There's some
other reason why he's created this whole other website that sells mostly the same stuff and then a couple of other things at inflated or non-discounted prices.
Right.
And I don't know what that is yet, but I'm going to look into it.
Furthermore, should not have taken him a year to put that together.
Jesus Christ, it's like a Squarespace
site. It seems like it could have been put together a lot quicker.
If you go look at it, it's straight up a Squarespace template. Anyway, yeah. Let's move along. Let's get to the show.
Okay.
So today, like I said, we're talking about December 5th.
Yes.
And on this episode.
Oh, it's to keep his wife from getting any of the money.
Probably.
It's to keep his ex-wife from getting any of the money.
It might be some.
Obviously.
Because she might still have a stake in InfoWars.
Oh, absolutely.
But if he starts a new LLC, he doesn't have to have her involved at all.
Exactly.
You know what? That might be a piece of it.
Yeah.
That might also be why he started NewsWars.
He's fucking over his ex-wife.
That could be it.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, let's get to the show.
I get it.
So something happened on the 5th that, or maybe it happened a couple days before, I don't know. Alex is mad. He's real mad.
Okay. Maybe it happened a couple days before, I don't know. Alex is mad.
He's, you know, he's in a weird headspace, and he's going to spend the next rest of our episode screaming about some stuff. And I'll just go ahead and tell you what.
Is it Joy Behar?
It's not. She does come up, though.
Oh. Of course she does. Of course
it's
she does.
Close.
Does he play the clip like 5 more times?
No, I think he does later in the show, but it's not part of our episode.
Okay.
So this is everyone's favorite thing. This is something that we've got to experience a couple times in the past. We have our types of Alex that we love, the esoteric Alex, the drunk Alex. This is another version of Alex that we all can revel in and enjoy, and it's interrupting a video clip, Alex.
If that's on the drinking game, we're all going to die, aren't we?
We saw it with the Brian Stalter thing.
Yeah.
We saw it with his Keith Olbermann coverage.
Ooh, that was my favorite.
And now I present...
He gave Keith Olbermann about 6 words every time, right?
This might be worse.
Yeah, okay.
I now present to you, Interrupty Alex, the Morning Joe edition.
The New World Order is dead on arrival. But that doesn't stop Mika Brzezinski, whose father openly wrote multiple books about how he wanted to get rid of American sovereignty and establish a world government.
No, not really.
And then she's up there with Joe Scarborough, who mysteriously left Congress after a young intern was found with her brains beat out in his office. They claimed she just fell over and hit her head. Whatever. Trump has said there should be an investigation of that. We've got a new accuser against John Conyers, said hand up her thigh in church. Word is that's the end of him. But the point is,
it is
Trump simply calling for an investigation of individuals that may be compromised and may be blackmailed for things in their background.
That's a
Oh boy, Trump, don't do that.
That's a fucked up thing to say right about now. You know, Trump just wants people who might have compromising information in their past.
Trump is launching an investigation into people who absolutely have nothing to do with him and are very unsimilar to him, and I'm sure that there won't be any made up allegations, and I'm guessing that it's going to be all up and up on the level, right?
Now, in launching this investigation, he's accidentally found that pretty much everybody around him is an unregistered foreign agent. And they've had to subsequently register as foreign agents, and two of them have been indicted and one flipped.
So he switched it over to find out who has committed sexual assault, and then he realized that he was a rapist.
Oh boy.
Didn't go great for him.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I often think about how great a sitcom Alex would make if we didn't live in the world. We did like Alex Jones having to do this shit on air and then getting off air and just being like, you know how they made That's My Bush? Like that kind of a thing with Alex.
Or like Home Improvement, like where he's got the TV show and he's an asshole and then he gets off stage and he's an asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's more true to than That's My Bush version. So we're going to get more into his specific complaints about Mika and Joe. And before we do, I would like to be fully clear. They can both fuck off.
Yeah, I do not care.
We're going to set the record straight on some things that Alex Jones says, but at the same time, Mika and Joe have a very, very serious role to play in why we're in the world we're in right now. They did a lot of normalizing for Trump.
Yeah, they legitimized so much bullshit that they're now going like, oh, we were probably bad.
They're not even saying that. They're not taking responsibility. They're just doubling back and almost pretending like they didn't have ass-kissing sycophantic roles in the lead-up to the election.
Ugh.
So they can fucking fly a kite.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
Yeah, this gets back to again, like, oh, look at these Democrats committing crimes. And we're both like, yeah, fucking get them out of here too. I don't give a shit.
It's like watching a fist fight between a Nazi and an apartheid apologist.
Yeah.
All right. Let them fight.
Great. Let them fight. Yeah. whoever lives at the end will still kill. It's.
So that's his sort of opening volley into the clip. And then I believe in this next clip, he gets into actually starting the clip of Morning Joe. And I've cut out nothing. This is just segmented clips.
This is the whole shebang.
This is maybe 2.5 segments of his show. A good half an hour, 40
All right.
minutes.
All right.
And the end will be an amazing punchline.
Okay.
But we have Mika Brzezinski. And we have Joe Scarborough first claiming the president only wants money. When he's lost massive amounts of money in his businesses and his systems and his golf courses and his hotels he ran for office 3 years ago.
I think he's keeping
and he spent hundreds of millions of his own money. Then they claim there's all this Russian evidence and the noose is closing and they're all going to jail for a very, very long time. So again, the full video is up on Infowars.com right now and it's total fiction. From the same swamp monsters that told us that President Trump had ordered Flynn when he was a candidate to go meet with the Russians, which they knew was fake as well. But they just keep this confidence game going and going and going when they're the ones that are in bed with the Russians on every front, the Democrats, because it's all they've got. So again, ladies and gentlemen, here is the beginning of the clip where they're breaking all this garbage down.
So I guess he didn't start the clip up yet. No. But, you know, this is all stuff we've kind of talked about already. I don't feel the need to dive into that too much. Let's just get to the clip here.
I don't understand his analysis being, I know you are, but what am I? Like, that's so confusing to me because it doesn't seem like it can't hold.
No.
Like, shouldn't he be trying to figure out a new angle on that? Because it's not going to last.
No, but it's
like the Flynn thing. A whistleblower just came out and was like, Flynn said, we'll definitely get rid of all those sanctions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very illegally said that.
Yeah.
Like, so who would have said, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course Trump knew about it.
Yeah.
Of course Trump condoned it.
There's no doubt.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
He committed the crime.
Yeah, and I really think it's a dumb thing to bang a drum about when someone erroneously reports something and then appropriate action is taken.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not, like, that's a bad example.
Yeah.
That's a bad example of fake news. Cause even Joy Behar, this, the beginning of this week, came on The View and said, look, we got that wrong. We, you know, we had a bad report that was delivered to us.
And they delivered the groan that was just as long.
More or less. And then Alex later in this episode plays the, plays the apology and is like, look at this fake apology. It's like, that, no, that's,
what are you,
that's
what
a
are
retraction,
doing?
Alex.
What are you doing?
That's what someone does when they get something wrong. Anyway.
Even if it is a fake apology, they're still retracting it. Mm-hmm. Like, even if they're not, even if their hearts aren't in it, they're still saying all of the stuff.
Yeah. So let's get to this here. Let's get to the clip. You want to take a bet on how quickly he interrupts?
I'm going to go with three words, Alex.
Three words. All right. Let's see.
You know, the campaign, Trump didn't think he was going to win, right, even on election day.
Right.
But it was all about money. It was all about making contacts.
I'm going to interrupt myself. It's a while. He lets it play for a while.
No, that's way long.
But like
you promised something and you did not deliver, sir.
Wait for it. You know Joe Scarborough, like when he says Trump didn't think he was going to win even on election day, would have been in a position to know what Trump was thinking around that time, because he was interviewing him.
Yeah.
And they had access
at
that point until right around then.
Right.
When something went bad and Trump started talking about how Mika's face was bleeding and shit.
That wasn't great.
So I don't know if that's necessarily the truth, but I would imagine Joe Scarborough knows a few things. I don't know.
We've said this before, but I think the most remarkable thing about it is that even now that he's president, it's still all about money. Like, he's not sitting there thinking what Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan thought. Like, what is my legacy going to be? He's thinking every day, how can I leverage this so when I get out of the White House, I can make even more money?
Knowing them, I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening, because I don't know if they were arrogant or just incredibly unself-aware and really dumb about, like, what the job was about.
This is just like all the very same people, including these two clowns, on television hundreds of times a piece, saying Trump will never win. He's not really running to win. He's a fraud. Hillary's 15, 20, 30 points ahead.
At one point,
I think all of those things are true, though.
At one point during the campaign, Mika came on air and said that someone from Hillary's campaign had vaguely threatened her because of things that she said on air. So the idea that during the campaign they were saying Trump could never win is just spiritually disingenuous.
Yeah.
And Alex knows that.
Did you ever read Shattered?
Mm-mm.
The book about Hillary's campaign?
Mm-mm.
Like, during the whole thing, these reporters got full access to the campaign because they were like, well, obviously Hillary's going to win, mm-hmm, so it's going to be a celebratory book. And her campaign was fucking bananas.
Yeah.
Like, it was horrifically bad. So, yeah, I buy it. I buy everything about, like, normally...
I'm not talking about that.
I'm talking about the Mika thing. Mm-hmm. Like, when you just said that, I was like, Mika probably made that up. And then I read Shattered, and I was like, no, that sounds right.
I'm not concerned about the truth or falsity of it. I'm concerned about them, like, where Joe and Mika were.
It's just a thought I had.
No, it's a good thought. Yeah. It's an interesting thought. But more what I was getting at is where they were during the campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's absurd.
Up their own butts.
Right.
Donald Trump's not going to be the president, just hammering that lie. Yeah, if he wasn't going to be president, why was he making 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 campaign stops a day?
Speed.
Why was he screaming and yelling, at the crew to work harder and to win?
Because
he was so incredibly committed and not backing down, even when they put out all his lies about him? He is the president. You're a fraud. And you're the people that have hijacked this country, and Trump's delivered bringing back the prosperity almost instantly.
Where?
So he's a winner. You're a loser. He told the truth. You're discredited liars. Get that through your head, scum. Let's continue.
So real quick before we continue, as he's about to get back to the clip, one of the things that just came out today I was reading was that the trade gap in terms of imports and exports went up about 8%. in the last month, I believe.
Right, because he brought back prosperity.
The last month that they had numbers for went up 8%.
Yeah.
So the amount of stuff that we're buying from overseas, particularly China, went up.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
Because he's bringing prosperity back.
That's not good.
That's how you bring prosperity back, right?
Sure. Absolutely. So anyway, let's get back to it. I mean, we can talk about the stock market numbers. Certainly they're up. Absolutely.
I mean, that's because the stock market has completely divorced itself from the reality of our economy, which is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have so many booms and busts all the time. That's why we had the dot-com boom for a while there, because it had nothing to do with reality. Once they deregulated the stock market in the 80s, thanks again, Reagan, you fucking pile of shit. I hope you get Alzheimer's again. I hope you come back to life and then are born with Alzheimer's disease and have to live out your 88 years. Anyways, the point being, because they deregulated and they allowed so much speculation and didn't have a separation between investment banks and regular banks, they wound up creating this system that is all about betting. It's a gambling system, essentially.
Totally.
So, of course he's raised the stock market. Everybody's betting that it's going to crash eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's betting on when, though.
Right.
And so that's why we're getting into this situation. Like,
but even
Bitcoin is over 10,000.
Right.
Which is like, it's going to be 5 in 2 years. You guys know it's going to be 5.
Right, right.
Crazy.
And the other thing is that, like, I mean, the stock market has continued to go up a bit, but it's,
especially after the tax cuts.
But it's also like up. If you look at it before then, mysteriously, like it went up sharper after that. But it's all more or less
a steady rate of growth since 2009.
Yeah, the trajectory you'd kind of expect, and so like that's more indicative of recovery and speedy growth. If that's what we start to see as we have after the tax cuts and shit,
yep,
that's the kind of thing you got to be really worried about, because that's not like it's not. We're never going to have the stock market at 100,000 or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway,
if the stock market goes up and the homeless population goes up, something's not going
right.
It's
not great.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get back to the clip here. Alex has said, let's get back to it. So we shall.
Let's get back to it.
Important it was, and how under the microscope every move you made would be. I think they just thought they'd go in.
There is nothing. There is no collusion. They've charged people for stuff they did 10 years ago that wasn't even illegal.
Nope.
Or what an FBI agent that worked for Hillary Clinton and covered up for Hillary Clinton said happened in a conversation versus NSA intercept recordings. On the word of some Clinton FBI agent that he just said something a little different, but they admit it wasn't collusion. Was talking to the Russians about crushing ISIS, which the National Security Advisor better be doing. You are lying scum.
And
sorry,
crushing
go back to
sanctions.
Right, right.
Crushing ISIS, but also crushing the sanctions that Obama put on them for tampering with the election.
So Alex's narrative is that with Flynn, they've indicted him because there is a Clinton FBI agent who lied in his notes.
You can have FBI agents, right?
Right.
If you're...
Totally.
Yeah, you can just have them.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Praetorian Guard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No, it's not...
Everybody gets their own FBI agents.
It doesn't really work quite like that.
Are you sure?
Well, there was a bit of a scandal of some FBI agents sending, pro-Hillary texts and messages and stuff like that.
Yeah, but there were shit tons that sent pro-Trump.
Scandal, by the way. Scandal.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But be that as it may, his narrative is that the people were spying and intercepted these phone calls,
right,
which if they did is reasonable because it's the Russian ambassador that they're spying on and Flynn happened to call him.
Not least of which it is reasonable because they had a warrant to do so.
Right. And so Alex is claiming that what this FBI agent who's in the pocket of Hillary is making these claims, and the only thing they have to go on is his notes. And how do you know you can trust his notes? As if all FBI investigations and interviews aren't recorded.
Now, notes.
You go to a local precinct, they record fucking everything. Because of situations like any kind of corruption that could happen, you gotta have backup.
Right.
And so that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
The idea that some pro-Hillary FBI agent just made some notes like, oh, let's indict Flynn because I got these notes weird.
Yeah.
And he would plead guilty.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He's a Clinton FBI agent too.
Now, Alex.
Flynn was a triple deep cover FBI Hillary agent. And he was, the whole time, he was like, I'm going to plead guilty eventually.
Alex, wait
until I can take Trump down.
Alex really needs to look into the FBI agents that were feeding stuff to, let's say, Giuliani.
Flynn.
During the campaign.
Don't understand.
Stuff like that. But Alex actually does know about all that stuff, but he says that they're the Patriot.
Well, yeah.
FBI agents.
Well, the deep state is fine. The Patriots can do whatever they want because they're doing what they're doing to us. Them.
Right. Speaking of which, this whole thing about the possibility of Eric Prince creating some sort of intelligence organization.
You know what? I'm fine with it.
I'm not.
Do you know why? Because Eric Prince is a fucking idiot. If they allow Eric Prince to create a deep state bullshit, I'm fine with that.
No, because it's going to lead to a lot of murders.
Yeah.
It's gonna
I know.
Be real bad.
It's hilarious.
That's not hilarious.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, our descent into fascism is pretty funny. So anyway, Alex interrupted, but let's get back to the clip. He's going to get back to it.
There and flim flam and riff through it.
You know,
and I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening.
They're shocked.
People might go to jail.
You're exactly right.
For the rest of their lives.
This is just like Joy Behar, who we're going to play again when we come back.
Of course you are.
Celebrating. Yay! He lied! Trump's going to jail! He worked with the Russians! They stole the election! The proof's out! Flynn admits it! Fake news! Con game! Confidence game, liar! Trump won! You lost! You're scum! The economy's coming back, scum! You're not going to get to ride on our backs anymore and piss on us anymore, Brzezinski! You and your bloodthirsty father!
And that's why I've created another subsidiary to avoid...
Right.
Oh, never mind. What?
So then he's like, let's get back to it.
Yeah.
And the fun thing about this is if you watch the video of it, you can see him constantly looking off camera as if for cues. I think what he's doing is he's checking the how long till commercial light to see, like, I got a vamp here.
I got how much? How long is this clip? Oh,
it really breaks the illusion that he actually means what he says or is getting worked up in a sincere way. He's like, I got 3 minutes. Fuck. Fuck. So he gets back to the clip.
The what's gotten them where they are right now, Josh, is a gross misunderstanding
of your rogue government.
The rules of Washington.
The rules of Washington
surrounding public service.
Hit pause again. And- Oh, the intelligence agencies have seven ways of Sunday to get back at you? What's happened to them is they waddled into a group of you guys that have hijacked the country and think it's going to go on forever? Nothing you do will ever put mainstream media back on top. Nothing you do, Scarborough. No one likes you. Everyone hates you. You got that stupid former RNC head
up
there on screen with you. He got caught in a bunch of corruption. That's why he's up there with you. The Republican establishment, the Democrat establishment... Here's your eviction notice. Get out of our lives, scum.
I'm gonna come back
and finish up with this on the other side. It makes me so angry. Oh, the noose is tightening. You're all going to jail for a very, very long time. You didn't know the rules of Washington. You don't know the rules of history, you little cockroach.
So
what are the rules of history, Dad?
I don't know because he's not saying shit. He's not saying anything.
He said nothing.
This literally reminds me of, do you remember that Daily Show segment, Even Steven?
No.
Where Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert would debate something.
Oh, yeah.
Yes! No! Yes! Like, it really is just that.
Yeah.
It's like he's playing this this video of Mika and Joe, and they say something, and they're like, no! That's all it is. You're a loser. We're winners.
Yeah, you suck. There's nothing going on. There's no collusion. You guys are an idiot. Trump. Anyways, let's get back to the clip.
Trump doesn't know the rules of government. You don't know the rules of history.
What are the rules of history?
Race memory.
Right.
No, that's how you learn. Shit, I forgot. I don't know the rules.
Never trust white people.
That's a good rule of history.
That's a good rule of history.
Right. They're up to something.
Yeah. Don't invade Russia.
Right. That's a good rule of history.
No land wars in winter.
Right.
Watch out.
No white after Labor Day.
Ooh, that's a good rule of history.
Right.
Yeah, you could get wet.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the rule is about?
I don't think so.
What was the rule? Why can't you wear white after Labor Day?
I don't know. I don't really.
When is Labor Day?
I don't know. It's past.
When is white?
Can't wear white.
Anyways.
I don't know. He doesn't, I'll tell you this. He doesn't really elaborate on the rules of history.
No, he doesn't?
No, we don't get to learn what those
okay.
are.
Okay.
So here's the next clip. He comes back from the commercial break and we'll see where he's at.
Oh, build a wall against
it. It is so hard for me to play this clip and not get angry. Because I know how bad Mika Brzezinski is. I know how bad Joe Scarborough are. I know what liars they are, what fake news kingpins they are, what con men and women they are. Same folks telling you Trump would never win and putting out the fake polls. I mean, they're just such trash. And now to have them salivating over a noose around Trump's neck and they're all going to prison for the rest of their lives. And this whole con game with a bunch of washed up politicos from both parties all nodding their heads, like telling a 3-year-old Santa Claus is real and Trump's going to prison because he really did something and he got caught because he didn't know how Washington worked. Well. He didn't know how to kiss everybody's butt. With all these arrogant mummies up there, and he just wants money, and he's a fake person, and he's evil. While the economy's coming back, while all these good things are happening, we're getting our sovereignty back, so many good things, and here are these sick establishment people that ran the country in the ground, shaking their finger at us, telling us how our champion's evil. You are going to lose, Phil, and you are enemies of this country. Now let's go back to the disgusting clip from the beginning, since I interrupted it a bunch. I'm going to try to give limited interruptions here because we need to just, for posterity, look at what true sociopathic pieces of trash are.
Yeah.
Because as Trump calls him, Psycho Joe, and her dad was a famous criminal.
Not really.
I mean, he talked about how he helped put the Khmer Rouge in that killed millions. And
you misread
and how
his
he,
books,
just
Alex.
All the evil things they did and wrote books about how the elite controls the criminal operations of the planet. And
He
wants a one-world government.
Really.
And these are
more
just parasitic filth. And I pray to God the day these people are finally completely out of our lives. I pray for justice against them.
I'm fine with that.
And I pray for investigations. I pray for justice. Now let's play enemies of our family. Here they are.
So, I mean, that's a great way to
Lord,
set up a clip.
I pray for investigations. I don't really know or care what they are into.
I just pray for investigations.
Just give me investigations, God.
He might get what he is praying for. It's just going to be not great.
I think that's my main issue with his. There's no collusion. There's no none of that stuff. Because like you have been talking about, there's nowhere to go when it happens.
Right.
You know, like there's nowhere for him to go. He can't just say,
there's no pivot.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Whoops a doodle. I was wrong the whole time. Mm-hmm. He has to then say, it's a coup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a dangerous position for him to be in as a propagandist because of his documented at least year and a half long association with Roger Stone.
Yeah.
And his constant I talk to Trump stuff.
Yep.
When all this breaks, as it will.
Right.
There's really no way for him to plead ignorance about anything, and he can't incriminate himself in being a part of this.
Right.
And so the only thing to do is, you know, this is our duly elected Caesar, as he calls him.
Yep. Which, again, great.
Great.
Love it. He doesn't understand the rules of history.
Yeah, so that's the only place to go, and that's a dangerous, dangerous place to go.
Well, yeah, he's going to have to.
Because his listeners are dumb.
He has to call for an insurrection.
That's the only.
Like, if you keep going.
It's the only play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it's not. I hope it doesn't come to that, and I hope that there's a de-escalation that's possible. But I just, based on what we see of the alt-right and these people and how unfairly they play and how they use bad faith very intentionally.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see a situation where things get de-escalated. I just see it getting worse.
Well, we're getting to the point where, like, that is the thing with Nazis. Like, the never-ending fascination of World War II is a unilateral bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like, the guy's committing a Holocaust. There's no negotiations. There's no nothing.
Right.
You have to fight and kill them. So we're getting to that point with our homegrown Nazis.
Right.
Where it's like, you guys are unequivocally bad.
But simultaneously.
And you're not influenced by anything else. So we're getting to the point where.
Simultaneously, though, as that sort of reality is happening, and most people aren't paying attention to it, and it's going to be too late once they start to, you have them and their media channels and in their echo chambers that they live in.
Yeah.
They're doing the exact same thing to Muslims.
Right.
So they're creating an unequivocal super bad guy out of a religion. And then pedophiles, too, but that's sort of in service of demonizing Muslims.
Well,
also.
Not all pedophiles.
Right, right.
They love their own pedophiles, okay?
Right, right, right. But
they love
fear,
the good pedophiles.
The fear of them they're using.
We need the Japanese to bomb Pearl Harbor again. I think that's what's really going on. Yep.
False flag, baby.
Well, see, there we go. Do you know who committed the false flag? Nazis.
Globalists.
Exactly.
It's the unassailable ironclad logic of psychosis. It is just like.
Right.
Whatever thing you think could bring people together, oh, that's a globalist plot.
Yep.
Like, let's say, some piece of evidence is eventually gonna fall, and it probably is already discovered and just not public at this point. That there is collusion on a massive scale, and it's not necessarily...
It doesn't even matter. Mm. Like, he should already be impeached for breach of the Constitution.
Right.
He has literally broken the Constitution.
False flag.
Doesn't matter.
False flag.
You can't make money off of being the president.
Fake news flag.
Jimmy Carter had to get rid of a peanut farm just in case.
That's because he's a cuck.
That's true.
he wasn't an alpha like Trump standing up to this pissant globalist attack.
You can't.
Why not?
Because law.
Laws are...
Like, if you're gonna suck the dick of the Constitution all the time...
Jordan, you don't understand the Constitution. Every amendment since the 13th has been unconstitutional.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right? Under common law, if you're a sovereign citizen, those amendments don't mean shit.
That's true.
Hey, who cares? It's common law.
No. And I think you should still be able to own slaves.
Law of the land says you should. Every libertarian has to believe that you should be able to.
Every admiral I've ever known owned slaves.
Fuck all this nonsense. Anyway, let's get back. Alex said he was going to restart the clip. So let's go back to the beginning.
Let's restart the clip.
See how long it takes to interrupt now.
You know, the campaign, Trump didn't think he was going to win even on election day.
Right.
But it was all about money. It was all about making contacts. We've said this before. But I think the most remarkable thing about
it is... Yeah, that's because you just played the clip.
That even now that he's
heard this before,
it's still all about money. Like, he's not sitting there thinking what Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton...
Sorry, I just can't do it.
Can't do it.
Trump went to office at 70, the oldest president ever elected, and spent his own money. That's never happened before except for George Washington.
I bet he paid himself back.
We all know what he did. He was a good guy. The founder of the country.
He was not.
These people all went into government, then got rich after. The Clintons, Joe Scarborough, all of them. And they're sitting there saying about Trump what they've done.
Yeah, they didn't get
Trump's
rich.
Trump's the American model of a successful person that goes to Washington to fix things and then leaves. Not career swamp creatures. But here's swamp creatures telling you Trump's a swamp creature.
Cool. So he's going to... That's
who would know better?
That's how he throws it back to the clip.
Why can't he just stop starting the clip over again? He could just let it play.
No, because we've talked about this over and over again. Alex Jones' comedic stylings is get every fucking drop out of it.
That's true.
You bleed the stone, as it
were.
That's
true.
And no, he's not gonna. He's like a rabid dog when he gets a day's old clip in his mouth that he has to fake outrage over. He had so much nothing to go over on this show.
How old was this clip again?
Well,
this was from December 2nd?
This was from Tuesday, and I believe it was on Scarborough, maybe the Friday of last week. I don't think it's current. I'm not entirely sure, so I'm remiss to give a date. I can't figure that out.
I will say one thing in Alex's defense. I have never watched that show. Judging by what we're listening to, it's a shitty show.
It's pretty bad.
It does not sound interesting at all.
But that's what we talked about at the beginning of this.
It sounds like they're two assholes just like, you know, he didn't even do the thing. And the other guy's like, right?
It would be more interesting to me if they turned it into a Shakespearean sort of, what have we wrought? Like, if they were speaking in like iambic pentameter and like... That would be more interesting. Like, really trying to deal with, like, we had a role to play in this. Oh, no. That sort of thing.
Alas, poor Scarborough.
If they turned Morning Joe into, like, a Greek tragedy, that would be amazing. That would be so great.
I mean, currently it's reminiscent of a Greek tragedy.
All life is in some ways.
Yes.
So anyway, he gets back to the clip.
Thought, like, what is my legacy going to be? He's thinking every day, how can I leverage this so when I get out of the White House, I can make even more money?
Impossible.
Knowing that
he's leveraging this, thinking, hey, when I, you know, there's a dead intern in my office and I got to leave Congress or whatever, how do I leverage this now for 15 years on television spouting disinformation? And everything he's saying is about him. Everything he's talking about is about him.
Okay.
Let's continue.
So let's continue.
Yeah, I buy that.
But that's not real. I mean, that's not reality.
Scarborough is an opportunistic piece of shit. And
totally.
We do have an issue with the revolving door between Washington and the private sector and lobbyists and all of that shit.
Undoubtedly.
I'm on board with that.
Undoubtedly.
But again, not during. Mm-hmm. It's the during part.
Right.
Look, Obama's going to make so much more money than he did while he was president.
Mm-hmm.
But it's after he was president. He wasn't using the office of the presidency to make money.
Right.
He's leveraging the fact that he was president to make money,
mm-hmm.
which is not necessarily like a huge distinction to make.
It is.
It's just a really, really sad one.
It is a big distinction, though. But I want to talk more about this idea that Joe Scarborough killed his intern.
I think that's true.
Because he's now brought it up twice, and it is time for us to discuss this.
Okay.
This is about a lady named Lori Klausutis. She was 28 years old, and she was an intern at Joe Scarborough's office when he was a representative in Florida.
Uh-huh.
She died.
From?
That's it.
Joe Scarborough-related injuries?
Alex says, earlier in that clip, he says that she had her head bashed in, and he's going to talk more about that.
Yes.
There was an investigation.
Right.
And what they found was that she had an irregularity in her heart that caused her to pass out. And when she passed out, she hit her head on a desk. Now, the medical examiner has said that she would have died whether she hit her head on the desk
right,
or not.
Right.
Most likely, although because of the timing...
It doesn't sound great.
The blunt force trauma did end up killing her, but
right.
she would have died from the heart aneurysm. That's not it.
No, that's in the brain.
Arrhythmia. That's it.
That's
there's it. there was a irregular beating of her heart that flared up, and it's just something that can happen. It doesn't even have to be diagnosed before, really. I mean,
yeah.
it is something that often gets missed.
Right.
And people who are otherwise healthy. And,
all of a sudden die.
Well, she was even like she would run like 4 and 8 Ks and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't mean, oh, she ran a bunch, so why would her heart, like, it's not.
Sounds like a big cover up.
Yeah, totally. So Alex Jones likes to present the idea that what happened was that she was hit in the head with something
yeah.
and that she was murdered.
Yeah.
The medical examiner has been very clear about this, that that's not possible based on the way her head trauma was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you get hit by something, like if a foreign object hits you in the head, mm-hmm. what ends up happening is you will have like a bruising and like a hematoma or whatever.
Right.
You'll have damage on the same side of your head.
Right.
Because your head will go along with however the hit comes.
And then, of course, the foreign agent has to register retroactively.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you fall and hit a stationary object, what will happen is you'll have a mark on this side externally, and you'll have bruising on your brain on the other side, because your head will stop motion. Your head is going in one direction, and the inertia will cause your brain to hit the side of your head.
It bounces that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got
that is the case in her case.
Uh-huh.
So for Alex to really make this argument, I guess you'd have to throw her head onto the desk.
There we go.
Like that, which seems inconvenient.
That, well, maybe Joe Scarborough, okay, put her head in a vice.
Interesting.
And then hit her. That way, it would look like it was reasonable for her to have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that Joe Scarborough famously had vices all over his office?
I think he worked for Vice.
Exactly.
So the thing is, like,
he was a vice officer.
The other piece of it too is just like the heart condition is not like it. It's very clear. You can tell that from a post, like a post-mortem autopsy. You can tell, oh, her heart stopped beating before, before death.
Right.
And so that would indicate to you this is an arrhythmia that caused her to pass out.
Right.
Also, two witnesses have said that she was feeling weird or ill that day.
Right.
Which could
right,
be
right.
indicative of some underlying thing that flared up.
Well, it was a lot like in Temple of Doom.
Two witnesses were not related to Scarborough. One of them was just her mail carrier.
Not important.
It is important.
So he pulls out the heart, right, and then notices that it's not beating. He's like, dude, you got to get checked out.
Kalima.
Puts it back in there and sends him off to the doctor.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is some nonsense. Also, Joe Scarborough was in Washington when this happened. This was at his Florida office. So, but then again, Alex would just say, oh yeah, because he's an important guy. He'd have someone do it for him.
Have you seen The Prestige?
I have.
Joe Scarborough has a secret twin.
Okay. That's possible. Anyway, Joe Scarborough didn't kill his intern. This is a real tragedy. And it happened. Alex likes to present also, why wasn't there an investigation into this? There was.
Yeah.
It didn't get a lot of press coverage. And I can tell you exactly why. It happened 2 months before 9/11.
Oh.
So when the investigations were getting going.
So Joe Scarborough committed 9/11.
Well, this
as
is,
a cover up.
No, because.
No,
because
that's obvious.
Because Gary Condit did. See, that's the other thing. It
right.
happened around the same time that
right.
Gary Condit was being accused of murdering Chandra Levy,
yeah.
which he also didn't do. And like the
right.
pre-9/11, there were weirdly a couple of interns for representatives.
A lot of interns dying before 9/11.
Well, just the two. And Gary Condit's one was way creepier and much more definitely murder.
Yeah.
Whereas this one was very much an accident.
It was really weird how she fell and hit her head on his dick. That was really strange.
So Scarborough got less press, but there was an investigation, and people determined it was
right.
an accident. So right. Alex presenting it as an unsolved mystery, and why didn't they ever do an investigation? He is literally just mirroring things that Trump has tweeted.
Yeah.
That are not true. It's absolutely not true. But it's still...
She did have a note on her that said, call
Larry
Nichols.
But also, still, fuck Joe Scarborough.
Fuck Joe Scarborough.
He didn't kill his intern, but fuck him.
He doesn't need to kill an intern to make me want to fucking murder him.
Exactly. So, Alex said, we're going to get back to the clip. Let's get back to the clip.
I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening, because I don't know if they were arrogant or just...
Actually, Trump thinks it's all a big, giant joke and keeps saying collusion. What collusion is there? We work with Russia to crush ISIS. That was all public. We asked them not to put sanctions on Israel. Oh, we're so evil.
Oh, by the way, the Trump campaign colluded with Israel as well.
That's what he just said.
That's a proven thing.
And
that is also illegal.
And Trump didn't, like... Alex is referencing his Assad, Russia, and the good people in our military narrative.
Which everybody knows because it's so obviously true. And
Trump has never said that, nor would he, because it's nonsense. But Alex is pretending...
I think you're underestimating our fearless leader, Trump.
Alex is pretending that that narrative is a piece of the Flynn stuff, and it's not.
Oh, no.
It is not. And so...
And it's all completely transparent. That's what national security advisors do. Oh, there's... They are shocked that the entire Clinton apparatus could have Mueller literally up its rear end with Comey as doing a proctology exam, and they all worship each other, and they're all involved in incredible corruption and collusion with Russia, China, you name it, selling the country out. They're the
really
globalists
Russian.
Trying to kill the recovery.
Really
they turn
Russian.
Around and say, those of us that are retaking the country, we're the foreign power? Yeah,
yes.
Right. Everything you say about us is what you are. You are the enemy. You are indicted in the public. You are indicted in front of God. And nothing you're ever going to do is going to change that trash. Let's continue. I'm sorry. I just can't shut up, Darian.
No, that's true.
I appreciate the apology.
Ah,
that's
he
nice.
Said, he said at least one true thing so far.
How long do you think it's going to take him to interrupt again?
Ooh, 6 seconds.
Let's see. Get the countdown ready.
Okay.
Incredibly unself-aware and really dumb about, like, what the job was about.
No!
Incredibly unself-aware.
Nailed it.
Boy, you said it. Have you seen your ratings? Have you seen how you have no credibility? Have you seen how you're known to be fake news? How you're a laughingstock joke going bankrupt? Yes, you are incredibly unself-aware. Let's continue.
So he's going to get back to the clip. I pulled up the most recent ratings. From Adweek.
Yeah.
This is the ratings for the month of November. And there's actually something really, interesting that's going on. MSNBC has, I'm just going to read here from the article.
Yeah.
MSNBC managed to accomplish a feat this past month that its rivals could not. It delivered audience growth from a presidential election month. So November of last year was.
Wait. They have more ratings than they did during the election.
Yep. In November,
I think it might have something to do with a reverse election going on, one wherein a president is no longer president anymore.
In November 2017, MSNBC, which skews progressive and is anti-Trump in primetime, was...
It would be lovely if it did skew progressive, but it
right.
turns out they're just pussies.
Right, right. That's a little... I'm reading from the text, not editorializing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm play-by-play
hey,
your
you know
color.
What? You know what? Pause the clip.
All right.
I got something to say.
So MSNBC was plus 26% in total primetime viewers and plus 4% in primetime in the target demo. It was also plus 28% in total day viewers and plus 7% in the total day demo versus November 2016. So that's big. That's pretty fucking big. When we talk about in the demo, that's adults 25 years old to 54, which is what marketers, you know, view as the most.
It's called disposable income.
The network was once again led by Rachel Maddow. The top progressive voice on cable news posted year-over-year audience growth and defeated time slot rival Sean Hannity in the advertiser-friendly 25 to 54 demographic.
Yeah.
Ha-ha!
I don't care.
I don't care either, but it's literally the opposite of what Alex is
saying.
Well,
I mean, of course it is, because even Fox News viewers are starting to get like, why aren't you guys talking about the only thing worth talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you telling us a story about whatever Tucker Carlson had for dinner? Dude, guys, president committed crimes. At least lie about it.
Right.
At least lie to us.
At least Alex is doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
So here, I'm going to scroll down a little bit further in this thing about NBC ratings. And then there was Morning Joe. Not only did Joe and Mika finish ahead of New Day, their CNN rival, but they delivered the most watched month ever on the network in the 6 to 9 a.m. slot, averaging 1.1 million total viewers.
Gross,
but it totally, totally the opposite of what Alex says.
Well, yeah.
He's like, have you checked your ratings lately? They're great.
Yeah.
They're great. Fuck off.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not as good a ratings as Fox and Friends or whatever, but that's not going to be,
well,
you can't compete with that.
You gotta get your morning racism in.
You can't.
I mean, there's no fighting against that.
You can't compete with the Deuce Man?
No, of course
not. Steve
Deucey. Oh, man.
Finger guns.
Those are maybe the dumbest people on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
The Fox and Friends people are staggering in their stupidity.
And clunky.
Oh, they're so bad at what they do.
Seem to have no chemistry whatsoever.
No.
Anyway, let's get back to this.
Fascinating. It's endlessly fast. It's like watching a MST3K movie without the commentary, just watching that, just going like, who wrote this? This is so poorly written.
They have producers,
think. Don't you guys have somebody telling you to stop doing this?
Back to the clip.
All right.
It was.
You know what? Pause the clip.
Under the microscope, every move you made would be.
I'm going to start over at the beginning, but This is the anatomy of fraud.
What an asshole.
Why?
They are in shock that every person that ever had a golf membership.
No.
Membership, or every person that ever bought a condo is being harassed going back down 25 years. And they're going
tell
back.
Tell me about
and
the ones who buy
nothing
condos.
Nothing to do with Russia. Nothing to do with Russia on anything. And they.
Well, you accidentally just brought up a couple things that are important. Like, one of the reasons Alex is presenting it as there's, you know, they're harassing all of Trump's golf members, and that's not entirely true. That's really.
But I am also fine with that.
Really, the things you hear about are the ideas that people are paying for access to him at the clubs and stuff like that.
Do you mean the crimes?
Right, that would be a crime.
Do you mean the crimes?
And the idea that he's doing official state business at a private club that he charges membership to.
Oh, do you mean the crime?
Right, so that's really more what they're talking about.
Right,
in
the
terms
crimes.
Of that. Yeah, and then the idea of like condo sales. There are multiple instances that you can look into of people who have mysteriously bought condos way above market price, not moved into them, and then sold them like 2 years later. And they happen to be people with mysterious ties to Russian mobs and what have you.
I don't think there's anything to look into.
Probably
there.
Not.
No, I doubt it.
But that's the stuff that they're talking
about. I think a giant international money laundering scheme is really small in the big picture. You know,
kind of.
Yeah, that's actually true.
But be that as it may, that's the stuff they're investigating. And Alex presenting it as harassing golf members and people in condos is, I mean, it's technically accurate, but it's spiritually unfair.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And they want to put Flynn in jail for working with Turkey.
Well,
I mean, that's all they've got.
I got a
so, yes, the incredible witch hunt microscope. And you're so powerful with your little Mueller, who's like your king, your swamp god, your unelected creature that you bet everything on, where he waddles around in public acting powerful. We're so impressed with you. No, America.
I feel like
hates
he doesn't
swamp.
Even go out in public.
They hate the Democrats. They hate you. They hate the Republican leadership. They know you're a fraud and you're just waking them up. So keep doing what you're doing, you arrogant tart. Let's continue.
Seems like that
was seems very sexist.
Gendered attack, in some ways.
But you arrogant tart.
But again, you know, people do hate the Democrats and the Republicans right now.
Yeah,
and rightfully
deservedly
so.
Deservedly so, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you guys have all collectively failed us to an extent we've never seen before.
So we can agree and disagree simultaneously, and we can move along because Alex said he's got to restart the clip.
Got to
start from the top.
You know, the campaign, Trump didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah,
even
I've heard
on
this
election
before.
Day.
Right.
But it was all about the
pause
money.
Again.
It was
that intern didn't know she was going to go to that office that night and get her brains knocked out.
I bet she never knew
she was going to your offices that day to die that night.
Well,
and she's looking down from heaven. She probably didn't know how she just fell over and killed herself. And when the cops were like, she fell over and hit her head and died. Okay, so she probably didn't know she was going to die either. I'm sorry. Let's start it over.
I don't understand how that's a rebuttal.
Also, you should apologize, Alex. Yeah. You're being fucking really out of line.
Yeah.
She has a family. I mean, she has a name. You know, like that's not just some prop for you to use. In attacking...
Yeah, what do you think this is? Sandy Hook? Come on.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
But there's, like, easier ways to attack Joe Scarborough. You know, like...
so many.
That don't involve lying about someone else's tragic death.
You could even go with, he's got shitty glasses. Like, that's good. All you need.
His head looks fucked up.
It's weird.
Right. That's soft, but I'd accept it way more than...
Yeah, I'd be way happier than that.
But this goes back to, like, really what is so terrible about Alex. I mean, beyond just the lying, it's lying in service of cruelty.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really, really cruel person
because he's a sociopath,
and he would love, like, he could make better points and probably get further with his arguments if he would go with substance.
Mm.
But it wouldn't allow him to be cruel, and because he loves being cruel, he's got to throw in, you bash that girl's head in.
Okay, Ocean's 11 type scam. All right, here's what we're gonna do. Alex has to go to court-ordered therapy, right? As part of his divorce settlement?
I don't think any more, but yeah, he did for a bit.
Okay.
I think it's probably over.
All right. So, we kidnap his therapist. Then you stand in as the replacement therapist, give him the psychopath test, break the, you know, and you're not beholden to the doctor-patient confidentiality.
No.
Because you're a fake.
Right.
You know, they can't hold you to laws.
No.
So then we release that he is a psychopath because of fucking course he is.
Totally.
And that solves all of our problems.
We don't even need to do that.
We don't even need to call Mueller.
We don't need to do any of this. Just listen to his show. He's a fucking psychopath.
Nah. We got to get that test.
Anyway.
We got to get John Ronson in here.
Anyway, Alex apologized for that interruption. And so let's get back to the clip. I'm sure he's going to make it a good long while.
Okay.
You know, the campaign, Trump didn't think he was going to win,
right.
Even on election day.
Right.
But it was all about money. It was all about making contacts. We've said this before, but I think the most remarkable thing about it is that even now that he's president, it's still,
you know, the intern's
all about
head,
money.
They said it was
he's
a
not sitting there thinking what Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan thought. Like, what is my legacy going to be? He's thinking every day, how can I leverage this so I can
get it? You know, if there was an intern here, a young female intern who got her brains bashed out one night, you think there'd just be no investigation about it? Just, oh, she knocked her brains out. I'm just asking. Why doesn't Joe even respond to the president bringing that up about him and say, hey, this is a bunch of bull? I'm sure it is. I mean, why not talk about the intern? Tell us her name. Tell her what she hit her head on.
Desk.
And show us the birth certificate.
Let's go back to Mr. Joe. Here he is.
Nice try to come up with an insult
Mr. Also, I think he's planning on killing an intern.
Right.
Yeah.
Daria's going to go.
Yeah, Daria's got it.
So her name was Lori Klosoudis, and you can look that up. You can find it. Joe Scarborough did talk about this.
Yep.
16 years ago when it happened.
Right.
I would imagine that when Trump accused him, basically, through his language on Twitter, of being part of an unsolved mystery.
When did that happen?
I don't remember. It was fairly recently. But he's brought up Psycho Joe and stuff like that after they stopped playing ball with him or whatever.
It's a
petty childhood squabble
that's
being played out in public. But be that as it may, fucking, you know what? I have a really good reason why Joe Scarborough would not respond to this. Decency.
Mm.
because he's addressed it already. There was an investigation 16 years ago when it happened.
Yeah.
And the idea of him now bringing it up and being like, her name was Lori Klausudis, and I didn't kill her, and you can look at the blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's disrespectful to her fucking family.
Yeah.
The idea that you would bring that up into the public sphere again runs the risk of re-traumatizing a grieving family who's moved on with their lives, but it's still something that would hurt. We don't want to see your daughter being used as a political chip that can be just thrown around.
I'm guessing it's not fun.
That's got to be terrible. And she wasn't like a child, but she wasn't old at all. She was 28 years old. You don't expect to lose your daughter to a tragic accident.
At this point, safety. Because if Joe Scarborough brings up her name, that family's getting death threats. That family's getting fucked over.
Totally. There'll be some sort of, like, you're involved in a cover-up for Joe Scarborough.
Yep. Crisis actor and the whole fucking bullshit thing.
All that stuff. Yeah. Prop Dude just brought up a great point. Like, what's happened to Seth Rich's family?
Exactly.
Or any of the families at Sandy Hook. Any of this stuff. It's not real. It's not appropriate. And...
yeah. Alex, InfoWars is halfway a machine to just ruin people's lives.
If somebody died at InfoWars, there would be an investigation. In the same way there is when anyone dies.
You probably would have killed them.
Probably.
Yeah.
Roid rage.
There would be a solid 60-40 chance that you murdered them.
And she didn't have her head bashed in. It's important to be distinct with the language.
Yeah.
Because that implies an actor in it. That implies that someone did something as opposed to an arrhythmic heartbeat ended up making her pass out and hitting her head on a desk. That is not your head bashed in.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
I mean, what you should say is she had her heart broken.
Certainly. You can say that. Let's move on. Alex does not restart.
You did not.
Alex does not
you
restart.
You did not appreciate that. I respect that. I respect that.
So here we go.
To the White House, I can make even more money.
Knowing them, I think they're shocked that the noose is tightening, because I don't know if they were arrogant or just incredibly unself-aware and really dumb about, like, what the job was about, and how under the microscope every move you made would be. I think they just thought they'd go in there and flim-flam and riff through it.
You know,
and I think they're shocked that the news is
shocked how the economy roared back and everything.
Jail.
You're exactly right.
For the rest of their lives.
This is flim-flam. I want
what's
some more of it.
What's gotten them where they are right now, Josh, is...
they have a swamp creature in league with Russia climbing up their rear ends.
Of the rules of Washington, the laws.
I'm bored by both sides of this.
And
I'm bored by the show, and I'm bored by what Alex is doing.
Coupled with the arrogance of New York developers thinking, I talk to them, thinking people in Washington were just dumb local yokels.
Yeah.
And they just get out of our
way.
They
don't know how to do
it. Don't wait. No. Listen. You guys.
You see,
is that what the show is?
You heard the music coming on, and that's why Alex hasn't interrupted again.
Yeah.
Because he looked at the clock and
he got commercial breaks.
I can play this out.
Yeah.
So let's just get to the commercial
is
break.
Is that what Morning Joe is?
It's terrible. Let's get to the.
They're just talking?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're doing what we're doing. But for $1 million.
Basically, yeah.
And they're doing it worse than we are.
Yeah, but it's fun. They're married.
They're married?
You didn't know that Mika and Joe got married?
Oh, no!
Yeah, they're married.
Why are they married?
They got married within, like, the last year. They apparently were having an affair for quite a while.
That's not going to last.
No, probably not.
No. Joe's going to cheat on her. And then
your opportunity, and you got, come on, you're just a bunch of hicks in Washington, D.C. Yeah. Let the big city developers come in, and we're going to show you. They wouldn't listen to anybody, and they stumbled into one possible crime after another possible crime, and then Donald Trump goes into his mode. He thinks
keep dreaming,
taking
boy.
On Bob Mueller
keep dreaming, scumbag.
Is the same as taking on Rosie O'Donnell.
So the point
Alex
fades out to commercial along with it. Good luck. Keep drinking.
Keep dreaming. Keep drinking.
Sounds like he said keep drinking.
I think on the second one he said keep drinking.
Scumbag.
And but Scarborough does make a good point at the end there. He's like, he is treating this like a congressional investigation is just another public feud that he has to negotiate through savvy PR.
Well, the congressional investigation absolutely is. It's the FBI one that might matter.
Right. That's not Rosie.
Yeah.
So here we go. This next clip is Alex sort of doing a post-mortem because he's done interrupting now. He interrupted that a total of, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 times.
12 times?
He got through
How long did he get through the clip?
Maybe 35 seconds.
I was going to say, how much did we listen to?
He restarted it three times.
Right.
And so now here's his post-mortem.
Well, if there's a queen of fake news, if there's a collection of...
You really think he's going to say Mika Brzezinski?
Well, yeah.
You really do. Cause
that's
is,
what, that's what it's about.
Cause this is right after.
Of.
Is it RuPaul?
Harpies, like something out of a Greek tragedy fighting over the all-seeing eye. Then it's gotta be The View, and it's gotta be led by Joy Behar. So coming up, Joy Behar.
What?
Gives a fake apology for.
Fake apology.
Fake news she put out last week. So you cannot make this stuff up. That is coming up in a moment. But just briefly getting back to what I spent two segments on, the Morning Joe salivating about nooses around Trump's neck. And
I got
to
restart the clip.
He's misrepresenting that even, too, because they're talking about a metaphorical noose of the investigation. Yeah. He's trying to pretend that they're like, oh, they want to hang him in the streets. That's you.
That's me.
Yeah. Sorry.
See, again, we should have our own morning show.
Totally.
God, we would crush a morning show.
I'm very cranky in the mornings.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to kill everybody.
All right.
And they're all going to jail for the rest of their lives. And the last part I didn't have time to get to because the break, they're like,
is that
the Constitution.
Why?
You know, we've got constitutional rules in D.C. These are the people that sold us out to foreign secret multinational combines.
Joe Scarborough did?
Yeah.
These are the people that deindustrialized the country.
9/11.
They gave the Panama Canal to the Chi-Coms.
Chi-Com.
Flooded open borders. Said they wanted to get rid of our sovereignty. I mean, these people are the plague.
How do you even get rid
of
sovereignty?
To sovereignty and prosperity. And then they sit there, the daughter of a famous evil lizard, Zbigniew Brzezinski,
literally,
a political demon who engineered much of the modern New World Order.
That doesn't exist.
And then you've got Morning Joe up there with all his skeletons in his closet and all his bull and all his no ratings and the joke that he is.
So all of that stuff isn't true.
Right.
I mean, you can say that Joe Scarborough is a joke. That's fine. But we've already discussed the ratings aren't
true.
The murder isn't true.
No.
Everything he's saying about Zbigniew Brzezinski is misrepresenting his writings. I mean, he didn't.
He was a wizard.
When you talk.
He was very similar to John Dew.
What? I don't have the energy. When you talk,
he's got the long beard. He's got the.
You should
have
said Uri Geller.
I'm not going to talk about Uri Geller. I'm talking about the original, the original wizard.
The idea though, why don't you go with Merlin?
Merlin
he's a magician.
He's a magician. No, John Dew was the guy. He was the guy who originally. Had the big long beard. He was the guy who created the
archetype.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, fine. I didn't get the reference. I apologize.
You should have.
I don't like wizards.
I don't think John Dew might. I don't think that is the right name, but it could be. Could be. I don't know. Could be. Pretty sure it's John Dew.
Okay. Maybe that might be why I didn't get the reference.
Yeah,
because
it might not be the right name. Yeah.
So the stuff about Zbigniew Brzezinski, though, I mean, when he's talking about sovereignty, what he's really talking about is the idea of international cooperation. In a meaningful way.
Yeah.
When he talks about the UN controls, blah, 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 what he's really talking about is we don't have the right to be cruel anymore.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about the UN dictating the terms of immigration and stuff like that and how the U.S. just pulled out of that.
Yeah.
One of the reasons that existed was because it needs to. There
pretty
are
important.
Millions of people in war-torn countries and who are the victims of genocide.
When Alex talks about sovereignty, he does not mean sovereignty over our country. He means sovereignty over the rest of the world
No.
What?
He is talking about sovereignty for our country, but it's never a positive sovereignty. Because Alex and Trump would like you to think, we just need more control to be able to be better to you. See, the thing is, we don't like the idea of the UN dictating, you know, that you should take this many immigrants and like, these are the regions where people are in peril and what have you. Like, they don't want to be told that. They like to present the idea of like, we're going to get rid of this and then we're going to take more people or with the taxes. We're going to get rid of all these regulations and then we're going to do even better for you. Yeah. We're going to get rid of the Clean Air Act and then our air is going to be so much cleaner because, you know, we have an incentive, you know, in government.
Free market.
Right. They present it like that. But with the sovereignty they're really talking about is the sovereignty to say fuck off to everybody.
Yeah.
And we don't care. We want you to die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the sovereignty that is being defended and protected by Alex. And that's not my sovereignty. My sovereignty does not play that game. The government that
hashtag not all sovereignty.
Right. The sovereignty that I want is the power to do things that help everybody and save people and ideally resolve conflicts, although we have not done a great job of that.
No, that's not going great.
No, but Alex's plan is going to be worse.
Because
today even Trump announced that he's going to recognize Jerusalem's the capital of Israel.
Yeah, I'm starting to find we're moving well into parody.
This is
like we're moving beyond whatever.
Right.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that now?
Sovereignty.
What kind of idiot would tell
sovereignty.
You that you should do that?
Sovereignty.
You're an idiot.
Sovereignty.
No.
It's going to...
Israel doesn't even really want their capital to be Jerusalem. Do you know what the... Okay.
I don't like your accidental pronunciation there.
Yeah. Jerusalem. That's all right. Yeah. I apologize for that. No, even fucking Netanyahu publicly is like, this is a great decision, but I'm sure privately he's like, fucking, we don't need this right now.
Right.
Like, we can do this, but like, not right now. Are you shitting me?
Yeah. It's a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Fucking stupid. It's amazingly stupid.
We have the sovereignty to do this, but in doing so, what you're doing is you're prescribing a lot of people to a very miserable existence. Because when you do that, what you're doing is you are, is my mic off? No, it's just my headphones.
No.
What you're doing is you're depriving Palestinians of a lot of legitimacy.
Existence, life.
Right, right.
The right to live anywhere.
And the claims that they have dual ownership of the contested lands.
You know what's
what you will end up also doing is emboldening the people who are making settlements. You will embolden people encroaching on Palestinian land and killing them. So that's what is going to be the end result of this. That's the sovereignty that is desired by Alex and Trump. And that's not good. That's not good for the world.
No, it's terrible.
And it's not good for us to sit here and say Israel shouldn't exist, because that's not right either.
No.
There is... It
shouldn't be an apartheid state.
It's not the... What they're doing is wrong, but that doesn't mean the reverse is right, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's a very, very...
You go back to it, but this is a non-zero-sum game.
Right.
And they're instead treating it like there's only a winner or loser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're fucked.
Well, it goes back to the beginning where Trump is a winner, you're a loser.
Right, exactly.
It's just that
mentality. You know what's interesting? Do you think there, like, is there an argument to be made that this is a purely religious decision on Trump's part? Or on whomever's
pandering to a religion.
Exactly. Because there's no foreign policy wherein this is improving our relations with anybody.
I think you could make the argument.
So this is a belligerent religious bullshit decision, right?
I think you could make that argument, but I think there would probably be some people who would like have a foreign policy position that would say it's a good idea. I disagree with them, but I think that there's some people who would say this place has been, you know, it's been too long that it's been a source of conflict. Better to burn it down than to allow it to continue like this. Put a light a fire under it, and you know, there's going to be a lot of people who get burned. But
so your interpretation of that kind of foreign policy.
I'm saying that someone might make that.
Okay.
Claim. I'm not saying that that is what's motivating it, but I could easily see somebody saying something like that.
Somebody's argument for this would be, yeah, let's start some shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less. I mean, it's like, I don't know, you got a building that there's a lot of problems in, just knock it down.
Right.
Instead of trying to fix the problems.
Like in the movie Dread.
Or in Trump's
Full
past.
Circle, baby.
So let's get to the rest of this clip.
Telling us that Trump was arrogant and Trump didn't care about the little people and Trump came into D.C. like it was flyover country. See, they know Trump went to flyover country. He loves flyover country. Loves he empowered it. Flyover country. So everything is scientifically out. Like, yeah. Say he's against flyover country. Compare D.C. to grassroots so common people. Iowa. And this big out-of-towner that came in, big fancy New Yorker. Trump's family came fancy into New them. York and kicked butt. Just like they came into D.C. and kicked butt. But again, they take all of Trump's strengths and turn them around into weaknesses. That's why it takes me so long to go over a collection of garbage like that.
So Alex is saying that Trump's family came into New York and kicked butt. Fred Trump, his dad, was born in the Bronx.
Yeah, they came
Trump
into it.
Trump was born in New York.
Came into it, kicked butt.
Their father, Frederick Trump.
I mean, if you want to go into a literal interpretation of kicked butt, I feel like, you know, denying black people the ability to live in your buildings, screwing over everybody that you can,
kicking
not
butt.
Paying contractors
kicking
to
butt.
After the fact, you know, going bankrupt over and over and over again. Having your daddy bail
kicking
you
butt.
Out.
Kicking butt.
Becoming a reality TV show star.
Kicking butt.
Because your actual business is nothing. Lying about being a billionaire when in reality your finances are almost certainly
you're
all
underwater.
Debt. You know, being a front man for mob
consortiums.
Activity. Yeah. I think those are all the literal interpretations of kicking butt, right?
Totally. And so Trump's dad was born in the Bronx, lived there his whole life, lived yep. in New York his whole life. Trump's father's father, Trump's grandfather, Frederick Trump, was born in Bavaria. But then at a fairly early age.
Always gets back to the fucking Germans.
At a fairly early age, I believe it about 16, 17 or so, after he had. So a bunch of his family, the five of the six children in the family, they went to work on the grape fields that the family had in Bavaria.
Yeah.
But Frederick was deemed too sickly to work in the fields. And so he became he got an apprenticeship at a barber shop. And at 16 or so, he ran off to the United States, and he said that he agreed with his mother that he should go to America. However, years later, family members said that he departed secretly at night and left his mother a note, which is interesting because by that point...
So being a gigantic lying pussy is built into that whole family life.
By the time, he was 14 and became an apprentice... his father died, and he left the family in severe debt with medical expenses and shit.
That sounds
so
right.
He abandoned his mother and claimed, we made an agreement, I should go to the United States. So he came over to the United States, came over to New York, and then ended up making a bunch of erroneous claims on Gold Rush lands out west and started a...
God, you dig ever further back, and it's like, liar. Liar, piece of shit, racist piece of shit liar, lying liar, the liarist.
And he started like prostitution dens.
Yeah.
And
that's just good business though.
Yeah. And one of the,
I don't begrudge a man starting a prostitution ring.
One of the other things too is he'd make claims on land, and then didn't own the land, but didn't care. And he would build stuff on the land. So he'd build like a housing thing on the land in order to cheat, the miners sort of. Because the people would be mining there and need somewhere to stay, and so he'd charge them to stay there. And on the off chance that they found gold, he would have placed a claim of ownership on all the mineral rights.
Right.
Although that might not be like it might not have held up, but he was just fleecing people who were in the gold rush, and shit like that. So
God damn it!
But what I'm saying
just all the way back.
He did all that, and then he moved to New York once he struck it rich, doing these fucking scams and shit. And then so the Trumps have lived in New York ever since then.
Right.
That's like his family didn't come into New York and kick butt. They fleeced people out west and then moved to New York and started abusing systems that they'd been Frederick had been abusing already.
When was that? When did he move?
What are you talking about?
When did the guy move from Bavaria? Like what year are we talking about?
He moved to Bavaria in 18
or he left Bavaria.
From I'm not entirely sure. I would say that it's probably in the neighborhood of 1888 or so, 1889.
Okay, so pitch, time machine,
right?
1889, kill the Trump progenitor, okay. Right? Then you can just hang out and kill Hitler. Like, you can just two birds with one stone on one time travel trip.
Better idea.
Yeah.
Kill Frederick Trump.
Yeah.
Do all the things he does. But then be a good person.
But then be better.
Yeah. So then
gotcha.
I get super rich scamming these fucking prospectors.
Right.
And then I just get to be a super billionaire and I teach my kids ethics and morals and not to kick black people out of homes.
Right.
And have racist
Hamdi
housing rights.
It.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. That's such.
But then how are you going to kill Hitler?
Such fucking hot bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I could take a trip, you know. I could take a little day trip.
Live it up. Right. Before you go and kill Hitler.
Right, right. We have to have our wild, wild salad days.
Yeah, we get a 19-year-old to do it, and then by the time he's about 35, he gets to go kill Hitler.
Exactly.
That's a nice weekend.
So anyway, we got one more clip here, friend.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Friend.
I don't know.
Nika Brzezinski and Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough are, to take a term from Lord Trump, they are a pile of garbage. You are garbage. You've had your foot on our neck forever, and now Trump's halfway removed the foot. We're getting oxygen again, and life's coming back into us, and a bunch of gremlins are running around on the deck of the ship trying to make sure we go under. So make sure you arrogant narcissist and your con game garbage realize you have failed, you're going to continue to fail, and you will fail. You are filth. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes!
Nika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough are the epitome of the arrogant Washington trash.
Your senses are off.
It literally hates this country and gets off on it with all the other scum that have hijacked the nation. You got to hate a country to want to run into the ground.
Hmm.
That's why they put people that hate us in charge. It's not like there's that many people that hate America in the U.S. You've just got
to
be one of these people.
One of them a lot.
To be in the power structure. Well, guess what? We don't want a power structure. We want the country to be strong and the planet to be strong, and you parasites will be removed. They're both like horrible foot-long tapeworms, man. I'm telling you. Tapeworms that we've vomited out and crapped out, and they're just trying to force-feed themselves back into our lives. They're like gonorrhea or syphilis. I mean, they are just, they're like HIV. They're like cancer.
Really think
they
it's
are
real.
Just.
Yeah.
You're,
or
you
at least
have
can't
to understand, folks,
people.
They literally want to destroy you. Okay?
Okay.
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 God, they're evil. Do you realize how evil these people are?
Yes.
How committed? I know folks going behind the scenes, man. They are. She is so rude. And so I've talked to four different people that have been guests on the show.
No manners.
And they tell me, rock stars, you name it, that behind the scenes, she treats her employees like, they're just like, she just tells the people, this coffee didn't have what I wanted. I'll have you fired, you moron idiot. And
can't
then Scarborough
think of anybody I've heard
her.
Who does
says,
that.
Get over there. Yes, ma'am. I mean, you know what? I think I'm going to make contact with some of those folks and get the full dope on you guys. I know people that have been at dinner parties with them, and it's the same. She is just so evil and so into herself, like her evil father, that she just sits there and just goes,
I would not go to that
that's
dinner
a spirit.
Party.
They're like from upside down world, folks. You understand? They've broken into this dimension. They want to destroy us. She thinks she's better than everybody. She's so hyper mentally ill dominant that she's just completely cuckoo. All right. Coming up, though, the harpy Joy Behar issues a fake apology for the fake news she put out last week. But first, if you want to wage war against the globalists, InfoWarsStore.com. They can't stand the fact that you fund us. They can't stand the fact that they've tried to destroy us, but you've supported us and gotten great products in exchange. A total 360 win-win-win-win-win. And so we've got 33% off our flagship product.
So at that point, he launches into like a 10-minute sales pitch that involves the new FortifiedSupply.com plug. He has a new thing called Patriot Points. Where you can earn points towards future purchases or something.
Oh man,
he's not really clear on what it means. But yeah, that ad pivot, that's the payoff.
That's the one.
That's what he does. He's 40 minutes of getting you worked up and interrupting. Oh, I mean, he did it really poorly this time.
Yeah.
In terms of like, even we were getting super bored, and this is one of our favorite bits.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly, but. Hey, then, you know, you work.
I think it's just because he's working with Joe Scarborough.
It's tough. He's a bad straight
man. I don't want to listen to Joe Scarborough talk.
So you got that for 40 minutes, and then, boom, I got a new store. Love it.
Yep.
It's perfect.
That's the plan.
Anyway, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
I was hoping you'd interrupt me.
But, no. Hey, fucking start the clip again.
All right.
Let's start the bit again.
Start from the beginning. All right, guys. So, look, I have found out that Alex Jones does not honor map agreements.
True. Maybe he does.
I don't think. I think there's something else going on behind the scenes.
Okay.
Anyway, I'd like to formally apologize for how long that took up top. Anyway, you can check out our website where we follow all map agreements.
We do.
At knowledgefight.com.
We follow border agreements. We follow standardized globe size.
We might as well be the cartographers of podcasts because we're so into map agreements.
Dude, atlases?
Love them.
Hate them.
Oh.
Maps?
Into them.
Love them.
knowledgefight.com. Find out about our hatred of atlases.
You can click support the show as well. You can read our blogs. We both write a lot for it, inexplicably. You can follow us on Twitter.
Yep, knowledge_fight.
You could go to iTunes.
It's true. There's a lot of options of what you could do at iTunes.
Like what? Start a prostitution den?
Sure, you could do that. Go to Seattle in the early 1900s.
I think that's a good plan.
You could subscribe to our podcast. You could leave a review.
You could do that.
Tell your friends.
No, you can't do that,
you go
actually.
To Facebook.
Yeah, if you tell your friends, that violates our map agreement.
Oh, shit. Okay, don't do that.
Minimum advertising people.
Facebook is an option.
Indeed. I just think there's one guy who maybe doesn't even know what a map
agreement is. Hold on, pause the clip.
Wait, what? Restart it.
From the top.
All right. I think there's one guy... And it's not Joe Scarborough.
Stop clip. Every time we're on this podcast, every time we try and end this podcast, it's just nonsense where you start yelling about some guy that you don't like. And
I'm sorry.
Forced to follow from the start from
the
top.
You know, okay.
Start from the top.
All right. So if you don't know, there's this one guy who doesn't know anything about maps at all. And if
hey,
you
cut,
don't like
it, cut
oh,
it, cut
God
it
damn
off.
It. God damn it.
All right. Go fuck yourself, right. John Rappaport.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.